Pick up with me Matthew chapter 16. Gospel of Matthew chapter 16 this morning. To have Matthew chapter 16, if you'd be so kind as to stand with me, the reverence and the reading of God's word. Amen. Once again, I do tremendously and truthfully and sincerely appreciate your prayers this week. As many of you know, Brother Roger Varicki was one of my dearest friends in this entire world. And he's doing just fine this morning. We will miss him. We will obviously work through the time of separation, but it is but for a time. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, look with me this morning, beginning in verse 13. I'd like to read for you this morning, beginning in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 16, down through and including verse 21. Our Bible reads this morning, beginning in Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Very powerful question. I know and I understand that we've talked about it a great deal, very extensively. But ladies and gentlemen, this was a very, very substantial question. Okay? Whom do the closest individuals who follow me, who walk with me, who intimately know me, whom do they understand that I am? That's what Jesus is going to get to. He begins the question with saying, who do people around think I am? What do you hear? What's the scuttlebutt, if you will? Verse 14 says, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I understand all of that. I realize that they have questions and they have variances of whom they believe that I am. But what do you think? What do you believe? Simon Peter answered verse 16 and said, thou art the Christ. Please understand, he wasn't naming Jesus by name. He wasn't saying, well, Jesus, we know that, you know, you've been named the Christ. No, ladies and gentlemen, his name was Jesus. He was the Christ. That is your English translation for the Messiah. He was the Savior. Simon, when he was looking at him, he wasn't saying, we understand your name. He's looking at Jesus Christ and he's saying, we understand that you're our Messiah. You're our Savior. You're our salvation and our refuge sent from God. Amen. The Son of the living God, verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And please look closely at this next statement. And whatsoever, what's that word? Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever, what's that word? Thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we, as always, thank you for this time of preaching around your word and gathering around your word. Lord, we pray that your spirit would please, Lord God, have liberty this morning to do the work that he and he alone is able to do. And Lord, we know that he is willing to do. Lord, if we are willing to be receptive, Lord God, that we would be able to depart from the house of God this morning saying just that, that it hath been good to be in the house of God this morning. Lord, please bless the preaching of your word, I pray. Hide me behind your cross, Lord God, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, many times human man possesses power they never realize and rarely learn that they even have. Take Daniel Tammet, for example. Several real-life feats of brain power have been documented, many of them classified as savant behavior. Daniel Tammet is one of those examples. At the age of 3, he suffered an epileptic seizure. Since then, he has been able to perform complex mathematical problems almost instantaneously and learn entire languages in but a few days. Of even more interest to scientists is that he can explain how he does it. He sees the numbers as images. These images resolve into another image that represents the solution to him. While scientists do not know the exact mechanism the mechanics, if you will, as well as the extraordinary abilities, they hope his explanations of his mental process might help in solving the mysteries behind the cause of autism. One of the most famous savants is a gentleman by the name of Kim Peck, who inspired the movie Rain Man. Both with several defects in his brain, Peck exhibits phenomenal memory feats. He can read an entire book in an hour with a retention rate of over 98% of that which he has just read. He can recall over 12,000 books from memory. He can also memorize lists almost instantaneously, perform rapid calendar calculations. Yet in spite of this extraordinary mental ability, he tests far below average of a standard IQ test. It's not that the man's a genius. He's just been gifted with a phenomenal gift, if you will, that scientists are yet trying to fully understand. Researchers believe his brain, faced with Peck's birth defects, has made new connections different from those made in a normal brain. You don't have to be an autistic savant to display great feats of brain power. At the National Memory Championship, everyday people of all ages and backgrounds compete in complex memory tasks, such as memorizing the order of full decks of cards or a list of randomly generated numbers. These mental feats are, according to participants, achieved through mnemonics of hours of practice, with records broken at nearly every competition. The National Memory Championship proves that even ordinary folks can increase their brain power. The actual capacity of an average human brain is unknown. It's commonly believed that the average person uses but 10% of their actual brain power. But this assumption could be based upon a misunderstanding of how the brain works and how information is processed. However, it's fairly certain that anyone can improve their brain power if they choose. Memory, in particular, can be greatly improved through concentrated practice. Repetition. 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 Now, the power of the human brain is only one example of the amazing power human beings possess that we are fully unaware of. At least on a general collective basis, and rare yet even learn how to even use a greater portion of that power. It's been discovered that the human body, in many instances, has displayed incredible and unexplainable acts of strength triggered by an adrenaline rush of movement of need. I'm certain all of you have heard a story or two through the years of an individual who has displayed just unbelievable and supernatural strength, maybe in a car accident or an emergency situation where they're able to lift or they're able to do extraordinary physical things that if we will comprehend it in our thinking, we realize and understand that no man, no individual could possibly do that. But yet it's being done. The adrenaline rush, the power and the energy that's committed and exercised in those moments still absolutely perplex scientists. I mean, we could spend literally hours speaking of incredible intricacies of the human body. How God created this fleshly carcass of human membrane we spend our lively lives encompassed about and by, and never scratch the surface of the miraculous, systematic, and extraordinary complexity of the body we possess. Power is an incredible thing. But friend, power doesn't just come in the package of a power of influence or a power of inappropriately used that we're aware of to control people. No, I'm speaking of some incredible power we all possess on many different levels that could and should be used for good, used for right, that we're completely ambiguous to. Now, that human or fleshly power, as many of you know, the fleshly realm is not where I specifically place a great deal of my personal interest or priorities. I would hope that you not so much as well. Why? Because I would hope that your focus and your concentration is a bit more exclusive upon spiritual power. Okay? I mean, how much is the average child of the living God, the everyday Christian, simply living life, trying their dead level best to do right, to live right, prepare themselves and position themselves to be a living vessel as an ambassador for the King of all kings? I mean, as we strive to do so, as we live our lives to do so, just common people trying to do right, trying to make a difference for the kingdom, each and every day we seek to have the Lord's guidance and direction in our lives and our actions. I would hope that that describes you this morning. How many of us, people just like us, are simply ambiguous, though, to the power we possess as a child of the Almighty Living God? Power that is given to only the child of the Living God. You see, as a child of the Son of the Living God, you possess some power. Due to the presence of the indwelling Holy Ghost of God that is seldom ever realized and rarely ever utilized. See, this is one of those areas that sometimes we neglect to talk about. The charismatic movement is literally stolen away. The speaking of, the blessings of, the understanding of the power that we hold as a child of the living God within ourselves innately, not because of me, not because of my strength, not because of any physical ability I have, but because of the unknown and many times ambiguous, because least and little studied, is the power of the Holy Ghost that dwells within me. See, I want to take just a few moments this morning and speak to you about that subject that is seldom spoken of, at least in its correct and doctrinal sound manner anyway. Yet it holds the key to unleashing a whole new level of energy and power to be used for the very same Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus Christ, in which we profess to serve. I'm not speaking in circles this morning. I'm not trying to be spooky this morning. I'll completely explain while I'm speaking through the body of my message today, but I simply want to draw your mindset and your heart to this thought of spiritual power in my introduction this morning. Are we aware of the power we hold of the living God? Are we aware of the power we hold over the rudiments of evil? And the very essence of the enemy, the devil. Do we even comprehend who we are in Christ? Because I would venture to say, if more of us understood the measure of power that I'm able to derive, the measure of power in which I hold. Listen, when I said yes to Jesus Christ, I got all Miss Cora of Jesus. I got all the power of God. Now, he didn't get all of me. So hence, my hindrances, if you will, of that which I naturally hold back in flesh from God Almighty hinders that power from being used. But all of us have it. You're gifted with it the moment you receive the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost isn't limited in power by your ability. The power of the Holy Ghost is infinite. He has all controlling power. But the measure of usage of that power is greatly hindered by the knowledge we have and the understanding of it. Amen. You see, you're not hindered, per se, of the power and having the power. You're hindered by your, may I use the word properly, ignorance of it. You see, we as ignorant Christian children of God, we don't understand nor do we study deep enough to realize the power of what is commonly known as the priesthood of the believer. It is the victory that overcometh the world, as the Bible says. You see, we as children of the living God, saved by faith and trusting in the merits and the blood of Jesus Christ, possess some amazing power simply by default of association and fellowship that unfortunately ever sees any level of its potential, Brother Mark. We're capable of so much more. How many times do we, in our unknowledge of this power, limit the power of the Holy One of Israel? A.W. Tozer said, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. He said, what a pity that we plan only on the things that we can do by ourselves. Many of you, most of you, are very well aware of the precious hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. Nearly all of us know the story. The one best loved hymn of faith was written by Horatio Spafford. Mr. Spafford, a wealthy businessman in Chicago, lost much of his real estate holdings in the Chicago fire. After the fire, he sent his wife and his four daughters on a ship to Europe, intending after he had finished things up to join them at a later time. For a time of the rest, as well as the assistance of Moody and Sankey while the revivals of Great Britain were taking place. But the voyage was struck by disaster, and Spafford received a cable from his wife with the painful message, saved alone. Obviously devastated. Wondering where to now, Lord. What now? Much of his wealth, if you will, taken away by the fire, and now the very essence of that which he cared most about in life, the greater portion of it vanished away, for life is but a vapor. Spafford quickly made arrangements to join his wife, whom was yet left. When he reached the spot where his daughters had drowned, Spafford marked that sad event with the words of hope, when peace, like a river, attendeth my soul. When sorrow like sea billows roll. But he went on to write, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is still well with my soul. How does an individual do that? How does an individual walk through such pain? Some would say, how could any individual ever have the power to still trust, to still press on, to still be used of God? These powerful words written in the midst of such pain are a reminder to us today that even though we may be enduring great suffering and hardship, it's not the end of God's plan for us. It's an opportunity for us to excel as we begin to understand the power that is invested within us. Sometimes God's children get discouraged because it appears that life is going better for those that are doing wrong. Yet the end result of both plans, ladies and gentlemen, are already settled. Those who fear God will, in the end, be able to say, it is well with my soul. While those who oppose God unfortunately, will quickly find the end of their path in death and destruction. Keeping the end result in mind, listen, helps us keep doing right. Amen? Even when it's difficult to walk the pathway. And understanding, if I may say, tapping into such amazing strength and power in Christ is an asset. Listen, we need to learn more about. Are you with me this morning? I've asked you to turn to a very well-known passage in Scripture this morning. If you look back in Matthew chapter 16 this morning, I'd like to point out some amazing truths found within these words of Christ that could absolutely catapult you into a new level of understanding concerning the might and power of God that you serve, but yet more the power and the strength that you possess simply through association with Him. I'll not, for sake of time, read the entirety of the text this morning. But if you look at verse 19, it's where I want to launch from this morning. Because the Bible says, "And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever," please once again repeat that, "thou." Whatsoever thou. The Bible says, "Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Dear Lord God Almighty, we pray now at this moment that you would bind the powers of Satan among us, Lord God, and that, Father, your power would be able to just be proclaimed, and that, Lord God Almighty, your power of working among us. And Lord God, we just plead with you to bind the devil today. God has that power. God's willing to do that. But if I read my Bible correctly, Brother Mark, I wonder how often God's standing up in heaven saying, "What are you asking me for? Why don't you do it?" "Oh, Lord, it's a devil." "I know. But whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose." Right? Well, Daniel, he's not saying, you know, "Ask me and I'll do it." No, he says, if you understand the power of what I'm speaking of, then you do it. You've all heard me say throughout the years, I'm going to repeat it yet once again, we are subject to what we allow ourselves to be subject to. Amen. The measure of evil and difficulty that I allow myself to be subject to as a challenge is up to me. Amen. Why? Because I have the power to do something about it. I have the power to have victory over it. I have the power to excel above it. Is that correct? Is that correct? Then why do I become so depressed when I'm oppressed by so many wiles of the devil? Why does that happen? "Well, I've just been getting beaten on, preacher." I know. Hey, if you're doing anything right, you should be. Amen? He don't like what's happening if you're doing right. If you're making a difference for the kingdom, he don't like that. He wants to do everything possible to deter that. Yes? So why do you get deterred? "Well, it's the devil, preacher." And you're a child of the living God who has a third part of him dwelling in you. Thou. Thou. Whatsoever thou. As I mentioned earlier, friend, we launch into this and I break it down for application this morning. I'd just like you to understand this is a subject that individuals refer to or we have labeled as the priesthood of the believer. I am a priest, empowered, anointed with, and touched by the power of the living God. I am a child of the living God, but I am also an ambassador, and I am empowered with the power of the Holy Ghost of God to do the things of God. Amen. The sooner I begin to understand that, the less I allow myself to fall subject to the opposition which is opposing that. Amen. So as we launch in here this morning, for sake of time, I'd like to preach a message this morning. I have titled, Possessing a Paradigm of a Priesthood Pedigree. It said, Possessing a Paradigm of a Priesthood Pedigree. First way I'd like to begin to develop this thought this morning is something I'm going to call possessing power over my personal parameters. Possessing power over my personal parameters. Flip back to the book of Romans with me quickly. Book of Romans chapter 7. And I know for many of you, you're saying, preacher, we've spoke about this a number of times before. Absolutely. But not everyone has. And for those who have, sometimes it just doth us well to be reminded of who we are in Jesus. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 7, passage I would imagine you're well familiar with. If you look at verse 4 and following, okay? Passage again. We know well, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law of the by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by commandment, deceived me. By it, it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by commandment might become exceeding sinful. What is Paul saying here? For we know that the law is spiritual. But I got a problem. I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. And if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law, that it is good. Now then it is more that I do it, no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The devil made me do it. Right? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. But watch this. How to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that seems to be what I do. Paul's saying, you know, listen, we all struggle with this. This is the naturality of man, right? This is that natural sin ability, desire, and lust. He goes on to say in verse 20, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more that I do it, but it's that sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after what? Say it. After what? The inward man. That's not your flesh, friend. It's your spirit that dwells in you. He said, my spirit in me delights in the law of God. But it's this stinking flesh that I have to get victory over. But I see another law in my members, as he goes on to explain, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my what? This flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? Would you please share with me the punctuation at the end of the word death? What is it? I'm sorry, once again? So Paul is asking a question, not making a statement. May I doctrinally challenge you this morning? Ladies and gentlemen, Paul is asking a question. He's not making a statement. There's a big difference. You know why it's a big difference? Because verse 25 isn't an expansion of a statement. It's an answer to the question. I want everybody to stop for a moment and listen closely to what I just said. Friend, verse 24 is a question, not a statement. And hence, with verse 24 being a question, verse 25 is not an expansion of the statement in verse 25. It's an answer to the question from verse 24. Are you with me? Because it changes everything. Look at it. Verse 24, as a question, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul's not saying, oh, boy, listen, I guess it's just an impossible thing. I'm just natural and I'm just human and I'm going to sin and I can't get victory over the evil and I don't have any power about this thing and I'm just subject to it and there's nothing I can do about it. I mean, I thank God for things, but you know what? I'm just subject to this because of the naturality of who I am. Friend, that's how many children of God read this passage of Scripture. You know, the things that I would, that I don't do, and the things that I wish I would do, those are the things that I don't do, and there's just nothing I can do about it because, you know, oh, wretched man that I am. Friend, those are explanations of defeat. Those are excuses of subjectivity, that which we don't need to be subject to. Are you listening this morning? You see, verse 24 is a question. He says, I may be in this situation or circumstance, quagmire, but you know, there's something I can do about it. May I? What could I possibly do about that, Lord? You with me in verse 25? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You know what Paul's saying, Brother Mark? You know, if I walk in the spirit with this thing, and I pull the strength and the power from the spirit of God that dwells within me, I don't have to be subject to this. You know, in my flesh, I may have to be. But in my spirit, I can gain the victory. If I can paraphrase what Paul's saying, is he's saying, friend, listen, I found the answer. I found the answer to being subject to the flesh and the enemy. And what is it? But with the flesh, the law of sin. But he says, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. What does that mean? If I focus on God, which then empowers and promotes and strengthens that spirit, which is my defense for the law of flesh. That's how I gain the victory. For these things which I do that I can't seem to help myself from doing. But you know, if I concentrate on the Spirit of God and the power that I'm given in that Spirit, through that Spirit, I can conquer this law of flesh. You see, when I read it as a question, because that's the punctuation at the end of verse 24, isn't it? You see, when I read it as a question, now all of a sudden, Mrs. Swift, verse 25 becomes an answer. Not an articulation of expansion of a statement, leaving me worthless and helpless because I can't do anything about it. It's not my Bible, it's yours. Right? Now, my word is God's word. But the majority of a Christian believer takes this passage of Scripture and walks away almost already defeated, saying, you know, it's just the status of all people. We just can't do anything about it. I mean, we're just naturally born sinners. Well, that's true. You don't have a desire to sin. Well, that's true. You know, it's easier to sin than it is to do right. That's true. But listen to me. I also possess power over my personal parameters. You know what that power is? Look at me. God lives in you, friend. A third part of the living God dwells within you. You think he don't have power to beat this thing? If you learn how to tap into it, you now have power to beat this thing. Hey, listen, I'm not going to expand too far because I need to move on. But friend, depression is a real thing. I understand that. But please hear me. There are two types of depression. One is a physical imbalance, okay, that obviously requires some maybe medicinal help or medical treatment so that you can correct that imbalance for the depression in which you are engaged in. And the other is a mental. Come on. And you know what the mental depression is? Allow myself to be subject to what is bringing me down. Come on. So my solution is I go to a psych whack that's going to feed me full of pills and subdue me and calm me down so I can sit in a near coma and say, well, you know, it's not so bad because I can't feel anything. I'm not being facetious, and I'm not making fun of this. But, friend, that's what we do, right? We go to medical people who now pump us full of a bunch of drugs, so we sit here literally numb, motionless, and senseless, so we can cope with the problems that I already, as a child of God, have the power to excel above and to win victory over, but I never take the time to learn how to use it. What is my power worth? What is the blessing of God worth to me if I don't utilize it when I have the opportunity and I need it? Amen? I just walked through a funeral this week. Very dear friend. One of the sweetest friends I've had in this world. Brother Roger was my buddy in so many aspects of life. I've been with you now for 18 plus years. Brother Roger and I have been as close as we've ever been all through those 25, 30 years. You say, well, how do you work through something like that, preacher? I mean, it was your friend. Yeah. You know how I walk through it? Priesthood of the believer. Because listen, he ain't dead, man. He's living better now than he's ever lived. He's going to live forever. See, I'm the one who has to keep on putting up with this stinking flesh. He's free. I text a friend the other day, you know, and they asked me, you know, how I was doing and so on. And I said, listen, I said, I got a dear friend who won the victory Saturday night. You know, we look and, you know, well, he lost his battle with cancer. No, my friend won the victory Saturday night. He got the prize. It's all the power of God. How do you see it? Well, I'm just subject to it. You know, nothing I can do about it. Oh, but there is. Miss Judy, we can walk through this thing any way we choose. I can be dwelling in the hope so, the no so, and stand on the victory side, or I can stand here depressed, and conquered, and defeated. Because there just seems to be naturally nothing I can do about the state of the wretched man I am. Which would you rather? Because listen to me this morning. You have an option. Which would you choose? Amen. You have an option that the world does not have, friend. Amen. Listen, I got to move on quickly here. Possessing power of my personal parameters. Secondly, I want you to see possessing power over principality parasites. You know what a principality parasite is? That's the devil, man. Okay? That's the devil and his angels. And again, I need not be subject to them. Book of Acts chapter 16, Paul said to the evil spirit, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he looked at me and he laughed. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't say that. It says, and he came out the same hour. Almost sounds like he had to obey, doesn't it? Right? Come on, is anybody awake this morning? Hey? Mark chapter 9, verse 28. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? What is it, Jesus, that you always, oh, because you're God. That's why we couldn't cast him out, because we're not God. Right? Jesus looked at him and he said, because you guys haven't learned how to possess the power that you have in me. Because this kind takes a little bit more of understanding the power that I've given you. And you see, you need to walk in through a little bit of fasting, a little bit more intense measure of praying, so that you can derive and understand that power that would give you the ability to cast them out. Oh, so Jesus, it wasn't because you're God and we're not? No. It's because you have a part of God if you just use it. And you haven't. Amen. Friend, I'm not being unkind. I'm not trying to minimize a very real turmoil. But this depression thing being served by Sigmund Freud and his you know, psychological ideas is killing a society of people. And it's not just society people. Many of them are God's people. Amen. And they're enduring it and they're walking through it. And as they're struggling along the way, they're trying to turn to a secular mentality to figure it out, to get the victory over it, which cannot happen. The devil will never take the worldly ways and allow the worldly ways to have superior power over him. There's only one thing that has power over him. That is the power of the living God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this morning? Yeah. And why do we live in a world who will not exercise it? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. For whatsoever thou shalt loose, whatsoever thou shalt bind. That's power. Not my power. But it sure is the power of the one who lives in me. Amen. And he don't have to be subject to any of this mess. And if he don't have to be subject to any of this mess, and he dwells right there, then that means I don't have to be subject to any of this mess. I just have to learn how to watch this, utilize it. Randy stepped into my office this morning. He said, "Preacher, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing all right, buddy." He said, "Listen, I know he's a good friend. It's okay for you to hurt." Sure, I hurt. But listen to me. The same thing I've said to many of you while you walk up to a casket and your loved one lays there. If you can't use this when you need it most, what good is it? If I can't use this when I, listen, if I can't use this when I need it most, what good is it? It doth me no benefit if I can't stand on this rock. Amen. It doth you no good when you need it most to stand on a firm foundation and you take a stand and that rock won't move. You don't get any help until then. But when you stand upon that rock and you realize that rock won't move, now you're secure. Now you're stable. Amen? Okay, I have 4 minutes. Let me wrap this up here this morning. Okay? I'm halfway through my outline, but I'm not going to give it all to you. Okay? Listen, I've given you possessing power over my personal parameters, possessing power over principality parasites. And I'll leave you with just a quick thought, okay? I'm just going to summarize it. Possessing power of peerless prayer. I said peerless prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, the word peerless means unequaled, having no peer or equal. Folks, the power of my prayer to an almighty throne of an almighty God cannot be equated in any manner whatsoever. There's nothing that can compare to that power. To be able to bow my head and to petition the very throne of God by a power of a Holy Ghost that dwells within me that knows my needs before I ask them. With a son of a living God, the son of the living, the Christ that now carries that petition to the very throne of God the Father Almighty. There's nothing that can equate to that power. You do understand he's God, right? You do understand as God there is no superiority to God. Lucifer, when he fell from heaven in Isaiah chapter 14, ladies and gentlemen, he said, people think that Satan's pride wanted to be better or higher than God. Friend, that wasn't what Satan's pride was. If you read it closely, he said, "I shall be like the Most High." He said, "I shall rise above the stars and heavens, and I shall be like the Most High." He didn't say, "I shall rise above the Most High." He said, I shall rise above the stars in heaven to be like the Most High. You know why? Because he knew there was nothing higher than the Most High. He said, I know I can't get above him. I know there's nothing more superior to him. I know there's nothing greater than him. I just want to be like him. That's all I'm looking for. If I could be equal with him. Because that's the highest pinnacle there is. Right? Do we understand the power we possess? Do we understand the pedigree in which we come from? Do we fully comprehend the ability we have in the Spirit of the living God? I'm not trying to be spooky this morning, but I refuse to heed this power and subject to the charismatics because they misunderstand it doctrinally. Amen! So hence we coddle and we don't talk about it. Because, you know, people might feel I'm slain in the Spirit if I talk too much about the Spirit of God. All while denying the power thereof. Are you listening this morning? Friend, I come from a pedigree that enables me as a beautiful, wonderful power. And you know how I can exercise that? By the power of prayer. By the power of peerless prayer, unequaled. Real quickly here, and I finish. Let me share just a few Gospels verses in John alone. I'll not even go any further. John 14, 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It tells me in verse 14 of that same chapter, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. It tells me in chapter 15, verse 16, if you have chosen me, or if ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 16, 23, and in that day ye shall ask me anything. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Verse 24, are you getting the idea? Now all of this hinges on the will of God. I can't ask for something that he understands and realizes Brother Zach isn't going to do me well. Is he going to benefit me well? Is he going to grow me? Okay? God may not see fit for me to have the mansion on the hilltop, you know, that costs, you know, $400,000 from that which I'm able to afford. That may not do me well as I go house broke trying to pay for it. But he promised me he'd care for my needs. And he knows I need a roof over my head. And he has no problem providing some desires of my heart when the desires of my heart fit into his will. So, Brother Ian, if I'm praying for a desire of my heart for a house that I can afford, and that way I can still, while I afford it, I can work a logical position and job, and I can still serve him, and I can be happy while I raise my family in it. That's the will of God, man. Yeah. And he said, you ask me for that. And you be diligent, and you be faithful. The Bible in the book of Psalms, Psalm 138 tells me that he gives me the desires of my heart many times. Doesn't say he gives you every desire of your heart. But those that are going to do you well, benefit you, help you, and provide and supply for your needs, those are the ones I get, Mrs. Swift. Let me summarize this real quickly. I'm out of time. You understand the power you hold? Do you understand who you are in Jesus? Do you understand that ability you have that dwells within you for good and right and to conquer evil and death? It doesn't just apply to celestial things. For seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is a spiritual thing. Yeah. Whatsoever thou shalt bind, whatsoever thou shalt loose, that's a priesthood of the believer. I've got power. I have power in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within me. The more educated and understanding that I become of that, the more powerful I become because of that. Amen? Well, the devil made me do it. Friend, the devil didn't make you do anything. You chose to do it because you became subject to it. Well, it's that temptation thing. I know. Because you didn't utilize the power to rise above the temptation. I couldn't help myself. Oh, but as a child of God, you can. The only question that remains is if you will. Let's stand. As our piano player makes her way to the piano, Mr. Ian Bounds said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. Mr. D.L. Moody himself, he said, I'd rather be able to pray than be a great preacher. He said, Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but he sure told them how to, or taught them how to pray. The power we possess as children of the living God. Just stand with your heads bowed this morning, your eyes closed. Hey, you feel yourself under that oppression? Feel yourself struggling with those things you can't get victory over? Feel yourself battling those areas that just can't seem to necessarily escalate above? Why? You say, preacher, it's more easily said than done. Oh, I get it. I'm not saying there's no effort to this thing. But it begins with the faith and the power that you have. It begins in the knowledge of the understanding of the power that you possess. You can't utilize something you don't realize you know and have. You can't glean power from something you don't realize exists. Friend, you have a third part of God dwelling in you if you are a child of the living God this morning. If you can take me to a time and you can take me to a place in which you said yes to Jesus Christ when your heart was convicted, when he was challenging your soul with your status for all of eternity, and that Holy Spirit of God said, hey, you know if you died today, you'd go to a place of separation from me forever. And we need to do something about that sinful state. If you can take me to a time and place where you bowed your head and you asked Jesus Christ to save you of your sin, and through his blood covering, save your soul. And you're a child of the living God this morning. And you were given a very, very, very special gift upon that pronouncement. And that was the power of the indwelling Holy Ghost of God permanently. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school when Jesus Christ entered that room on resurrection evening and he walked into that room and he said, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. The Bible says they were joyful and the Bible says Jesus Christ breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Friend, that was a power anointed onto them like never before given to mankind. And we're still to this day, nearly 2,000 years later, trying to understand it and try to figure it out because we still don't utilize the knowledge of it enough to utilize the power of it enough. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time this morning, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the power of thy indwelling Holy Spirit of the living God. Lord God, as we make a quest personally, Father, to understand it more, to, Lord God, be able to utilize it more. Father, help us become educated and knowledgeable about that gift of the living God. I am literally, Lord God, I'm possessing a paradigm of a priesthood pedigree. In Jesus' name, amen.